welcome to the F1 Strategy Report for Formula Legend. On this week's edition, the Italian Grand Prix, so little happens that I can't come up with a second point to put in this intro. That's all to come in this edition of the Strategy Report. My name's Michael Laminato, and yes, it's another one of those races where, well, not a lot did happen. Joining me to wrap up, as best we can, the strategic developments of the Italian Grand Prix, his name's Luca Manacordes from FormulaPassion.it. He joins me on the line now. How are you?
Hi, Michael. Hello, everybody from Italy. We are still here under the Monza podium to sing Po, 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 Po.
How did you rate his singing? He got the crowd on his side in the end.
We are crazy here for the Monza races, so we are happy to sing this song.
And they're putting all the Max Verstappen fans in the shade, I think. We thought the crowd in Belgium was good, but nothing really beats the fans in Italy. I guess you're a little bit biased, but what was the atmosphere like? It's always good.
Yeah, in Monza, it's like a football stadium for the atmosphere. So tifosi are crazy. They're going with horn, they sing song, so it's a very good atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. And a fine atmosphere for Nico Rosberg to win his first Italian Grand Prix from Lewis Hamilton. He did it with a one stop. It was a very straightforward race for him. But before we get into the race itself, we need to start with qualifying, because what set up the entire Grand Prix for Mercedes and ultimately for Nico Rosberg was the fact that they were so quick, Luca. They were so quick that they could qualify in Q2 on the soft tyre, which was the middle compound. Everyone else needed to use the super soft. Could you tell on Friday, from your perspective in the paddock over there, that it was going to be so bad or so easy for Mercedes early on?
Unfortunately for the show, the superiority of the Mercedes is very, very, very big, especially in this kind of track, because they have a good power unit and a fantastic chassis. So they could choose this kind of strategy and... the race, it has been very easy for them. Also with a bad start from Lewis, but their superiority is so big. So
one of the interesting things I thought, though, in qualifying, because if Mercedes is going to run away, well, they've already run away with the championship, really, but if they're going to keep the dominance in the race up, at very least, we should be able to hope for the competition between Rosberg and Hamilton. That we are getting that in the end. The gap in the championship's close to only 2 points. But after qualifying, Hamilton had a whole half a second between him and Rosberg. And Rosberg's face after qualifying, I mean, he looked completely gutted after that result. What was he like? What was it like after that result to see Hamilton so far in front?
Yeah, on Saturday, everybody thought that the race has already a winner with Lewis. And also for the World Championship, because Lewis now has the new power unit. And this is, in my opinion, a big advantage over Nico. Even if Mercedes will put a new power unit for the last races, Lewis has a big advantage because he can use his power units better than Nico, that cannot use the power unit at the best for the risk to break them. So we thought that the championship also still gone to the Lewis hands, but now we have a great battle for the title, so this is good.
Yeah, it is lucky in the end what happened in the race. If we look further down the grid in the order, this is, of course, all about horsepower. It's an engine track. We all know that. Monza's mostly a straight line with some chicanes in the middle of it. And Ferrari brought, as they did last year as well, last year the great effect, this year not so much, a new power unit. They spent, I think, 3 tokens, their last tokens for the year. Did it seem to have much of an effect? Because they didn't make much of an impression on Mercedes. And secondly, I suppose, when Sergio Marchionne walked into the paddock, he called them a failure. He wrote off the year. How did that go down in the Ferrari garage?
Marchionne in Monza said that now the problem for the Ferrari is not the power unit, but the aerodynamic. So they thought that their power unit, Ferrari power unit, is a good power unit. And I think it's not at the level of the Mercedes power unit, but it's not bad, because we have seen the Haas, especially with Gutierrez, mm-hmm. he reached the Q3. So the power unit Ferrari is a good power unit for me, the new power unit.
And we'll see how that works, certainly on other circuits. I think we're past most of the power circuits now, and that'll hopefully stand them in good stead, given Singapore, the next race is where they won last year. But nonetheless, after qualifying, we saw very much Mercedes-powered cars doing very, very well. Mercedes most of all, and Ferrari clearly the second fastest car. Down to the race, though. The race is, well, it all happened pretty much at the first turn. It's where Lewis Hamilton gave up his advantage from pole position, and we saw Nico Rosberg streak away into the lead. The one-stop strategy is what Mercedes were using, and they could still use it on Hamilton in the end, even though he fell down to sixth by the time he got to the first chicane. Usually the one stops faster around Monza. Are you surprised to see so many cars go for the two-stop, I guess by virtue of the new tyre rules we have?
Yeah, the one-stop strategy is always the best in Monza. But this year, with these new tires rules, so the team can choose the tires, one kind of tires for the races, we saw a different choice for the strategies. This is good, but we have seen with Ferrari, with two stops, you are more aggressive, but you cannot reach a faster car than you. So at the end, Mercedes doing the right choice, especially with the choice of the soft tires for the Q2. The Red Bull mm-hmm. tried to do the same, but they were not so fast to do the same. So
mm-hmm. it's ironic as well, because Mercedes seemed to be fastest on the super soft. We remember Belgium, they were not that good on the super soft tire. They seemed to be overheating it because it was so hot there, and Belgium's got faster corners than Monza, so there's more energy in the tires. But it's, I mean, could you imagine what the advantage must have been if it could use the super softs for one of those stints? I mean, how much further ahead could they have finished?
Yeah, that's right. We must hope that with the new rules for the 2017, the superiority of the Mercedes will be smaller, or we are going to see another close championship between Lewis and Nico and the other cars still behind a lot of 10th.
That's all we've got to hope for, I guess. One thing that's been in the spotlight for the last couple of weeks, well, actually, I say the last couple of weeks, really since this time last year it's been in the spotlight, is Pirelli and the tyre pressures, because this is where Mercedes and Lewis Hamilton, I think it was last year, almost got thrown out of the race for running tyre pressures that were too low. Ever since then, Pirelli's been mandating minimum tyre pressures, and the teams haven't been all that happy about them, especially in Belgium. They were very unhappy because they were quite high. Were they still very high in Italy? And given we've had a year now since Pirelli's really been on this regulation, the teams haven't been that happy with it, have they?
Yeah, still in Monza, many drivers have complained this choice of for the pressure, the tire pressure. And not only the Mercedes drivers, but for example, also Romain Grosjean has said a lot of complaint about this tire pressure choice. In Italy, we say that Pirelli has some problems with his adventure in Formula One. Still from the 2014, do you remember the tires explosion? Yeah, now they used to follow some choice conservative. And that's why now we have this kind of situation.
It's interesting, since we're on Pirelli, and because, let's be honest, we've almost talked about all of the strategies so far, Pirelli's tenure, like you said, has been sometimes controversial in Formula One. The drivers are not happy with the tyres they're given. That's not necessarily Pirelli's fault. They're making what they've been asked to make, I suppose. But the perception in Italy for an Italian company, one of the big motorsport companies of the world as well, supplying tyres to a bunch of different categories, how has the response internally, the national response to Pirelli in Formula One, been, considering all the criticism they get?
We saw a lot of Italian fans of Formula One. They say they are not happy with Pirelli. But we understand that Pirelli is not in an easy situation because they follow the federation request. That's why they had a lot of problems in the last season, and they still have some problem this year. And for example, it's a victory for Pirelli that now they could do some tire test for the next season.
Absolutely, and we'll see the tire brief is changing a little bit next year, and hopefully we'll get tires that can be raced a little bit harder, because that's what Lewis Hamilton said was his problem in Italy. Once he eventually got past everyone, he fell behind. Once he got past even the Ferrari cars, he was 15 seconds behind Nico Rosberg, and maybe once upon a time that would have been a great story, because Lewis Hamilton, you know, maybe he's slightly faster than Nico Rosberg as a driver, closing the gap over the second half of the race. But he just couldn't do it. We should all be looking forward to tyres next year, right? Or are we going to end up complaining that, you know, the tyres last the whole race? It's just like the Bridgestone era. Maybe there's no perfect tyre.
Yeah, exactly. We hope that next year we could see a race like the one as you told. There's a lot of big expectation for these new rules. For sure, have you heard what Fernando Alonso said about the 2017 rules? If he doesn't like the new cars, he will retire from Formula One. So there are high expectations for these new rules.
There's a lot of pressure on there's a lot of pressure on McLaren to make sure Alonso doesn't just retire if their car's not very good. Imagine having to make a car to save Fernando Alonso's career.
Yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't like to be the chief designer, I think. But in the end, the Mercedes cars streaked out in front. Lewis Hamilton could not catch Nico Rosberg. They ran almost identical one-stop strategies from the softs from qualifying to the mediums to finish the race, and that was the way it finished. A quick word on Ferrari, I suppose. The race, I guess, it showed how far behind they still are compared to Mercedes. But on the other hand, they sort of needed a really clean weekend like this, didn't they? Because this is their first podium in 5 rounds, I think it's been. Some of the races previously, they've made some strategic mistakes or just general mistakes when it comes to pit stops or race strategy. And I guess at very least this weekend in front of the home crowds, they just had a pretty, well, a maximum weekend, I guess, for the car they have.
Yeah, for sure. And this weekend, Ferrari reached the best result he could reach. And but this year, in my opinion, for a lot of people, Ferrari did a lot of mistakes in strategy. Australia, Canada, they've lost some opportunity to win at least one race. Because we know that Mercedes every season give 1, 2, 3 chance to win a race for the other teams. And also in Spain, Red Bull has used this chance to win a race, and Ferrari lost the race with, again, a strategy not perfect. So this year for Ferrari, we have seen a lot of mistake, in my opinion, for the strategies. And also on track by the drivers. China, first turn, also in Belgium. So not a perfect season for the Ferrari team.
What's the pressure been like in Italy on Ferrari? Because, I mean, it's not only in Italy that the pressure's on. Everyone around the world of Formula One expected Ferrari to win this season. We all thought that they'd be challenging Mercedes, and that ultimately hasn't happened. The first half of the year, yeah, you know, sometimes they were there. Like you said, Australia, Spain by technicality, I guess, when Mercedes crashed. Also Canada, maybe Sebastian Vettel could have won there. But ever since then, it's been hard. Now James Allison's gone. It can't be a very good situation for Ferrari in front of all the home crowds, given what everyone expected.
Yeah, they have a huge pressure on them, and especially because the president Marchionne at the start of the season said that he was waiting a victory until the GP Spain on the first 5-6 race of the year. But this victory had never come, so the pressure is bigger and bigger every race. And for this, the Monza result is a good result for Ferrari, but at the same time, I think that with this result, we saw that Mercedes is always too strong for them, and also that Red Bull in the next races will be a very difficult car to beat for Ferrari, especially in Singapore.
Let's talk about Red Bull, because they gave us a little bit of action. Definitely Daniel Ricciardo did. Overtake of the race. Well, there weren't very many overtakings in the race anyway, but overtake of the race, maybe of the whole year, according to some commentators on Valtteri Bottas. Now, Williams as a car should normally be quite good around Monza. They've got the Mercedes engine. They're very slippery in a straight line. As you were sort of saying there, how much does this show the Red Bull car and the Renault engine? They keep saying the Renault engine's no good, but you know they did all right in Monza. How much does it show the development of Red Bull this year that Ricciardo can pass the Williams and finish fifth at the end of the race?
Yeah, this is the Ricciardo move was a very great overtake, beautiful overtake. And with this overtake, we saw concretely the... that now Red Bull is and Renault power unit are in a very good shape. And for the power unit, we saw a leveling of the power on the speed on the straight. For example, if you take a look at the top speed in the race in Monza, the second driver is Jenson Button with the Honda power unit. So now the power unit is not the big difference between the Mercedes and the other team. And now Formula One is going again to be a championship where the chassis, the aerodynamic, are the more the most important thing for the speed in the, on the track. So Red Bull, as always, big solution for the aerodynamics. And... we saw the wings, especially now, are deforming wings. That in with this deforming wings, they are helped in the straight. They could reach higher speed, even with a Renault power unit, so they can beat Williams also in Monza.
And as a final note on Red Bull Racing, Daniel Ricciardo, the secret, I guess, to him passing Bottas and being able to make that move on him was the fact he ended the race on a super soft tyre. Similar strategy to Ferrari using the super soft twice, but he used it at the end of the race. Not very many other cars did that. The highest place one, well, was Jenson Button, and he used it to great effect, in fact. He passed a lot of cars near the end of the race. How come so few teams, do you think, tried the super soft tyre at the end?
It seemed that this was the best strategy for the drivers who choose the two-stop strategy. So, yeah, and also Jenson... shown that this was the best choice. So, yeah, I agree. It was a good choice for the strategy, using the super soft at the last stint.
One of the entertaining things of this week has been watching, well, listening to people talk about Max Verstappen, I think, after that Belgian Grand Prix controversy between him and mostly Kimi Raikkonen and Sebastian Vettel, too, for good measure. He had a pretty... quiet race, I think. He did what he had to do. He passed the cars he had to pass after he had not a great start. Didn't qualify too far behind Daniel Ricciardo. But how did you see him taking all that criticism? He's still young, still a teenager, second year in Formula One, to have the whole world, well, criticizing his driving. How did you see him reacting to that in the paddock?
Max seems to be... I don't know if you have you heard the word that he reserved to Niki Lauda about the psychiatric treatment. He sent back to the sender every criticized that arrived to him. So it seemed to be very strong about the psychological side. So maybe in Monza. He looks a little bit quiet, but I thought it was also because the track was not the best for Red Bull. But for example, we saw he has done a great move on Sergio Perez in the last laps. I thought that in the next races we will see again Max at his best, also with his aggressivity.
on Sergio Perez, interesting, we already talked about how few cars tried the one-stop strategy, but of all the teams and of all the drivers, Sergio Perez in Force India, you'd think would be the first people to try and do a one-stop, because that's usually Perez's strength, isn't it? That he gets through the race changing tyres the minimum number of times and still finishes quite high up. Were you surprised Force India didn't give it a go, or is this maybe a sign that, you know, they're already really thinking about next year despite being in such a tight battle with Williams?
Yeah, Force India, I think, is living a very great season, because they don't have a great budget, but every year they made a step forward, the best team. So maximum respect for their work, and I thought that this year they will beat Williams for the fourth place in the Constructor Championship. And yeah, for Monza, probably with this with the tire rules about the super soft tire, and using the tire for the start of the race, the tire that using Q2, they have no choice, so they have to do the two stop strategy. Also, even with Sergio, that always make a long stint in race.
The only other, I guess, unique strategy in this race was Romain Grosjean. That Haas car just missing out on points. He went straight from the soft onto the super soft after having a gearbox penalty. Just a quick note on them before I want to talk about McLaren, because I think they had an interesting race, even though they didn't score any points. Haas has done very well in this first year. There's a rumour around the paddock that Romain Grosjean and Esteban Gutierrez will both re-sign for next season. Have you heard anything about that? And, I mean, do you think that there's anyone else that they should be signing next year, considering, well, Gutierrez hasn't scored a point yet?
At the moment, it seems that Gutierrez will maintain his seat at Haas, especially because we know he has slim money behind him, so it's easier for him to maintain the seat. But Haas in this year made a good debut in Formula 1. Obviously, they are helped by Ferrari and Dallara collaboration. And as we see in Monza, they have a car that is quite good, especially in the fast track.
And let's talk about McLaren now, because, yes, they've still got that Honda power unit. It's not the best. In fact, it's not really that good. They've made improvements. The electrical part of the power unit's not too bad. And they had an interesting race, I thought. They couldn't qualify very highly. Jenson Button had a messy first lap, but had a really strong finish on the super soft tyres. But even that was reasonably normal compared to Fernando Alonso. Got a bit frustrated in the car. Sounded a little bit crazy in the car, I think, as well. And in the end, he got the fastest lap of the race.
Yeah, the Fernando team radio is one of the best in the Formula One. He was furious because in his first stop, they had a problem with the traffic light, as mm-hmm. you've seen on TV. So after this problem, he was furious. And when Jenson overtakes him, he started to go crazy. And at the end, he chose to change his tires to do this fastest lap in race. This fastest lap is the first fast lap in race for Honda since 1992. Mm. And the last driver to do this with Honda was Ayrton Senna. So,
good stat. That's a good one.
Yeah. So Fernando has done this to show everybody, this is what I could do with a fast car. And for sure, well, as I saw before, McLaren is improved very well this year, the car and also the Honda Power Unit. So maybe next year they could reach the other top team in some track, I think.
Well, we hope so, because then at least Fernando Alonso might not retire. Although it'll mean Jenson Button won't be able to race the year after. So I guess, you know, one way or another, someone's going to go. As a final note, because, well, that's all the tyre strategies there were, really. The race was fairly straightforward. The championship battle is, I think, one thing not very many people expected in the mid-season break, even after Belgium. Yes, Nico Rosberg won in Belgium, but Hamilton started on the back row of the grid. So in, you know, actual fact, Hamilton had a pretty good race there. Only 2 points now after Nico Rosberg won this race. A lot of people had written off Hamilton. A lot of people had written off Rosberg. Is this title fight on?
I could say that every year we saw that between these two drivers, there are every driver has two, three, four Grand Prix win in consecutive. And then the other driver seems to be he's going to lose the championship. For example, this year, the first four Grand Prix, Rosberg dominates the championship. Lewis seems to be not competitive like the other here. Then Lewis won a lot of race, and Nico lost all the points he had in after the first race. So is like a roller coaster between them, and I still think that Lewis could easily win this championship. And I don't know if the battle will be again furious between them, because if you think about this, after the Austria contact, they look a bit, little bit quiet between them. Nico. Nico has now a new contract, has signed a new contract for the next years, and maybe in that contract there are some clauses for not a big battle between them. So for me, Lewis remains the favorite for the title.
I think I'm of the same opinion, but I even wrote before the mid-season break that there's no way Rosberg will win the championship after he lost in Germany. But 2 points, it's very, very close, isn't it? Is it six or seven rounds to go now?
Yeah, seven.
Oh, it's going to be interesting. At least we have this. If there's no one else that can beat Mercedes, at least we've got this. Although the Singapore Grand Prix in only 2 weeks, one of the three, maybe one of Mercedes' three races they can't win this year.
Yeah, it's, for sure is a better situation than that when we had Vettel alone to win a lot of races. So for sure it's better for the show. But always if we had another car between two Mercedes, it would be better.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed. Hopefully soon. Hopefully that'll happen soon. Well, that was the Italian Grand Prix. It mightn't have been a classic, but it did bring the championship back into 2 points of contention. And there was some interesting moves in there at very least. But the Italian Grand Prix is always worth seeing, isn't it? The crowd, the fans, the atmosphere. It's fantastic. You were part of it. Luca, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Michael. Michael, goodbye you. Goodbye, everybody. And we wait you in Italy next year for the Italian Grand Prix.
That's all the time we have for this edition of the Strategy Report. If you want to read more about the strategy of the Italian Grand Prix, go to f1strategyreport.com for Jack Leslie's write-up of all the action from Monza, or search for F1 Strategy Report on Facebook and Twitter. And if you want to try your hand at your own race strategies, you can download the 2016 edition of the Formula Legend mobile game, available on iOS and Android. My name's Michael Laminato. You can find me at Michael Laminato on Twitter, and be sure to join me in 2 weeks' time when we look back on the Singapore Grand Prix.